This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I haven't had a lot of time to make notes and shit this week because I've been sitting in a classroom in the back with a computer that doesn't hook to the internet with crappy cell service and learning a class that I'm supposed to be teaching, but they're not actually letting me teach. I'm just sitting in the back listening to them teach shit I already know.
Einstein once said, when you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, I guess I was in the wrong room today.
It wasn't necessarily referring to intelligence. It was referring to if you're not learning anything, then you're doing something wrong. You should always be learning something.
Well, that's the thing is like everyone in the class was learning something. Mm-hmm. And if I was teaching the class, then I would be learning how to teach the material.
Right.
But like I can't learn how to teach material by watching you do it. I got to do it.
Right.
You know, it's not like. It's not like I have to learn the material so that I can learn how to teach it. I mean, it's like, hey, take the job you've been doing for 18 years and now watch us teach people how to do it, even though you've been training people how to do it for, you know, 17 of those 18 years back at your center. So I haven't had time to really make a lot of notes because we're going away to Canada tomorrow for 4 nights. And so I was getting all my schoolwork done every night this week to make sure I had it all done because it's usually due Sunday.
Well, you're going to have nothing to talk about next week.
Oh, fuck no. I'm not.
Because you're going to be in Canada, and then you're coming back Tuesday, and then you're basically driving back here, dropping your wife off, and then jumping in my vehicle.
If I can make it, yes, that's what's happening. That's
then
the
we're
plan.
All going to Mr. Tennessee 3000.
I'll have to talk about. Yeah. And then.
And then it'll be Wednesday, and we'll probably record Friday, so.
Well, no, we might record on the weekend.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Because.
That way you could watch some stuff.
Because Thursday, Friday, obviously I'm working, but Friday night I'm going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And
don't forget.
Lowell Mass.
Starting Monday, the shows are back. Shows start.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. Well, American Horror Story started last night.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot to set it to record. I'm really kind of bummed about that, but I can watch it on demand.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to watch that at some point, too. But
oh, you know what we almost forgot?
What?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 179 of What Did You Watch This Week?
I didn't forget. That's the first time you've ever done the intro.
No, it's the second time. I sneaked one in on you before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, because you had stolen my outro the week before.
Remember? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
So, this is Mike. I'm John. We're here to talk about stuff and things.
That we watched.
You are all thrown off.
That we watched this week.
That we watched and that we read about. Because I have more.
I didn't watch much. I mean, I snuck in a show here or there. But, like, I'm a day shift worker now. I got to go to bed early.
I know. Tonight you were like, by the way, it's Thursday, September 19th. You were like, hey, I'm putting Wesley to bed at 7. You can come over then if you want. I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then I thought, no, he wants to go to motherfucking bed.
No. I figured it'd be nice to record early because you got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I do. And so don't you.
No, I don't.
You don't? Oh, that's right. You're going to Canada.
I'm going to Canada. Yeah, no, I get out of work at as you can see from the table, I got packing stuff out.
Yep, yeah.
So, I just get up in the morning.
Not packing tape and cardboard boxes.
But I just get up in the morning, take a shower, throw everything in a giant bag, and I'll be heading out. We're driving to Ottawa. Ottawa, Ontario.
To do what? Okay.
Go visit Canada. Basically. You know?
Oh, I know. I know Canada.
You do?
Yes. Blame them. Blame Canada.
Blame Canada. What's that based on? That's a South Park?
South Park movie. bigger, longer, uncut.
South Park the movie.
Yeah. So, what do you get to talk about this week, Mike?
Not much.
Okay. Well, that's our show.
No, I got mostly news. I did not watch any more of Carnival Row because I was waiting on my wife, and she was like, yeah, I don't think I want to watch it. And I was like, I want to watch some. Thanks for that.
I have not watched any more either because you hadn't, and no. I don't want to – I'm not, like, waiting for you, but I don't want to get ahead and be like, oh, hurry up and watch episode 5 because it's great.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of glad that you didn't.
Yep.
So –
it's not – that's the thing is it's not going anywhere. Same thing with Dark Crystal. You know, I haven't watched any more of that because it's not going anywhere. And it's going to be enjoyable. Like, I'll be able to say, oh, I've got nothing to do. I think I'll throw on an episode of the Dark Crystal, and I know that I'll love it.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. I did start watching a show called I, Land.
Yeah, I watched all of that.
Okay, how many episodes is there?
7.
Okay, I think I'm up to episode 6.
And it's a limited series.
Yeah, on Netflix.
Yeah.
Stars the chick that was on APB. That was probably inappropriate for me to call her the chick. My notes officially say, no, I wrote the chick.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Anyways, whatever. 7 episodes, started on 9/12. I didn't know. I hadn't heard anything about it before watching it.
I had heard something. The brief synopses that I saw were like, what if Lost met the Fyre Festival, met reality TV? And I'm like,
That would not make me want to watch it. So I'm glad I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, my thoughts are a lot of it is cheesy.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. 10 people wake up on a beach, what appears to be a deserted tropical island. They don't have any memory of who they are. They're all
by the way, we can totally spoil this because I'm not giving this a hard sell, are you?
Oh. Well, I want to finish it first.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not. okay, after the first episode, I would have.
You would have done a hard sell?
After the first episode, if that's the only one I had watched, I would have, because I really enjoyed the first episode.
See, I was the opposite. Like, after the first episode, I was like, this is garbage. I can't believe I'm watching the second episode. But then it kind of grew on me as I went along.
Oh, okay. So, for me, I really enjoyed the first episode. Again, 10 people wake up on a beach. They're a deserted tropical island. It appears to be. None of them have any memory of who they are, how they got there.
They only know their names because they look at the tags on the back of their shirts, and they each seem to have, like, a single name on them.
Right. And, like, the first girl that woke up had a conch shell in her hand, a la Lord of the Rings.
I was going to say Aquaman, but...
Second girl... Kate Bosworth there. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Her life? Yeah. She had a knife, and then immediately he's like, no, we don't both have items. I have a knife. You have a shell. And then, like, threatens her with a knife, and the other chick just takes away from her like it was nothing.
Yeah. Because she has, like, kung fu moves.
Whatever, yeah. She was a soldier, apparently. And so they find, you know, 8 other people, and eventually, like, the first girl there, Natalie Martinez, she plays Gabrielle Chase. On the show, she's called something else.
Chase,
yeah.
She finds they're all their last names.
She finds that where each person was, they have this another buried item, like maybe a little first aid kit, or there's a compass or whatever, matches, book. They also find like that each person was 39 feet up, 39 paces apart.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a sign that says "Falling your way back" and all this other stuff and blah 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 blah. And at first I thought, that's kind of interesting. I can get behind this. And then the second episode was, ended with her, like, waking up in a lab or some shit. I was like, what the hell is this? And then it kind of got stupid from there for me.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially,
Essentially,
they're all in a, like, a virtual reality world, but they don't know they are. And if they're supposed to be getting a second chance, is that what the point is? Yeah. Go for it. You explain more.
Do you want to finish it? Or
No, you go ahead and explain more.
They're all prisoners, is what it turns out. And everything in this was too rushed to me. Like, in the first episode, like you said, they managed to go, hey, look, somebody was laying here. Let's dig the sand where they were. Oh, my God, there's an item here. I should go dig up where other people were and find other items. And then Chase finds a box that she can hit a little key fob in a certain number of times because, you know, 39 is the magic number. So she hits it like 3 times and then waits and then 9 times and it unlocks the box and there's a revolver with 1 bullet. And then she goes exploring with this one guy who's like he looks like the handsome guy, so you know he's a douche. And they find this waterfall, and he goes, "Hey, we could just keep this to ourselves. It could be our own little private place." She's like, "Oh, really?" And he's like, "Really?" And then she like leans in and they kiss, like deep passionate kiss. These people who just woke up on an island have never met each other, have no idea who they are or where they are, and they're like, "Hey, let's kiss." So then she kisses him and then goes, "Okay, I'm going back to the beach." And he's like, "Well, wait a minute." And he grabs her.
And he tries to rape her.
Yeah. And like in the worst, most Lifetime movie type, like he's grabbing her and throwing her on the ground and throwing himself on top of her. And she finally fights him off. And then she goes and tells everybody and they don't believe her. And the whole thing, like they really play out this whole he's a rapist kind of thing. Because then, like, Kate Bosworth takes him into the jungle, and she's like, "So, is it true what happened between the two of you?" And he's like, "I don't think so. I didn't try to rape her." So she, like, kisses him, and she tries to go at him, and then he tries to rape her. And so that's, like, an underlying theme through this whole thing.
I brought it to myself.
Right, right. And his excuse is things like, you know, "I didn't have sex with you, so it wasn't rape." She's like, "But you attempted to." And he's like, "But there was no sex, so it can't be rape. So just back off."
Yeah.
And there's a lot of standoffs, and there's a lot of people like holding knives to each other and holding sharp pointy sticks at each other.
But none of them know who they are. They don't have a memory. All they know is what they know there. So why are they being confrontational?
Right.
Because apparently deep seated inside, you are who you are. You can't change even right. if you don't remember who you are. And then she somehow wakes up. But what it is, she gets hit and she gets clubbed in the head after this guy, the rapist, is murdered, and they blame her.
Yeah, because her knife
right,
shows which, up in his back.
Yeah, and because no one could have taken it from her while she was asleep, obviously, which right. happened. Anyway, so she wakes up in the prison, futuristic prison real world, and
she meets the warden, who is a comic book character.
Bruce McGill. Yeah, this is where it started getting the shits for me.
Yeah.
Because now the whole episode is her in the real world.
That's big air quotes.
Yeah, trying to figure out, but she still doesn't know who she is.
Right.
And and then you have like the nurse who is overly aggressive, unnecessarily.
Oh yeah.
And then of course.
Oh yeah, threatening to like jab her with needles and stick chemicals in her.
And then she kicks the shit out of everyone and tries to escape, and then gets caught, and then kicks the shit out of. Like she bit people up a lot. They should have just fucking shot her at some point.
You'd think
But instead, like. The warden's like, "If it was up to me, you wouldn't go back in because I think it's a bad idea." And then you're going back in and I'm going to see to it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything felt very rushed in this. Like they were trying to cram in as much as they could in their limited 7 episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she goes back in and now suddenly.
Dude, each season, each fucking episode cost $2 million.
Really?
That's what it says. They spent $14 million on the first season, each episode costing $2 million.
That's insane.
That is insane.
They put her back inside, and she wakes up and immediately tells everybody, "Hey, we're in a simulation." And they all go, "You're full of shit. Let's tie her up."
Yeah.
And then these two other people just appear. And they're
Bonnie
like,
and Clyde.
Yeah, we're Bonnie and Clyde, and we're from another village over on the other side of the island, and here are the rules. You're not allowed to kill anybody, because if you kill somebody, then you violate the rules, and we get to kill you. Oh, and don't forget, they all went swimming in the beginning, and one of them got ate by a shark. And like
bit on the leg.
Well, that's the thing is the shark grabbed him and dragged him away, and everyone was like, "Ah!" And then he just kind of washed up on shore, and now they're nursing him back to health.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody devolves into creepier and creepier people because Bonnie and Clyde announced they're like, "Oh, by the way, before we came in here," because they finally within 5 minutes they give up the ruse.
Well, no, because one of them says like. You know, it's kind of strange that if you really have been here and from the other side of the island and you know what's going on, didn't seem like you're all that concerned with the dead body over there. And then they're like, "Oh, they got us. We talked about this. We should have been concerned about the dead body, but we just pretended it." And then, they tell everyone that they're there. They're in the simulation. All your memories are come flooding back and you're going to hate each other and want to kill each other.
Oh, you're going to hate yourself.
Yeah,
you're going to hate everything about yourself and who you are and. Which they're all assholes. They're all predatory, and none of them hate themselves.
No, that's the other thing too. And then they tell Chase like, "You should get out of here because they're going to hate you more for the things you know, and they're going to want that information." But hey, we're here to keep the peace. So if you try to, and they killed one of the people, they killed Hayden, who had killed the rapist.
Yes.
And basically they're just like, you know, if you kill someone, then the island will kill you. So it's like, you better run because they're going to kill you, but don't worry, we're going to kill that. No.
It was.
See, this is where we're getting more and more. Oh, stupid.
Absolutely. The only interesting part was seeing the flashbacks and finding out who these people were.
Yeah.
Some of them were just idiots. Some of them wrong place, wrong time. That one guy who like asked a girl out and she said no, and so he like followed her into the bathroom and killed her.
Yeah.
Because he was like, "We're supposed to be together."
Yeah.
And then he starts doing that on the island as well.
Yeah, like instantly, because now he remembers who he is, and who he remembers is a creepy stalker guy who murders people that doesn't want to be with him.
And again, he's okay with it, because you know what? That's who he is.
Yep.
Like, there are very few people out there who commit heinous acts who say, "I really regret it. It's not who I am." Now, if they say that, it's just to get a lenient sentence.
Now, it seems to me that, what's her face? Chase probably is innocent. Like, I feel like she shouldn't be in jail.
Okay.
Maybe she should, maybe she shouldn't, but like, I don't know.
You'll know by the end.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure I will. But anyways, I can't give it a hard sell.
I can't either. In fact, I don't recommend it. It's not the worst Drek I've ever seen, but it really, it's not enjoyable per se.
But that's pretty much the only show I watched. Other than the America's Got Talent finale episodes there. Because my wife and I have actually been watching that. I will say there was a lot of great acts that we liked. There was a lot of acts we thought were stupid. And not the Wednesday night results show, but the Tuesday night finale show where all 10 acts performed their final acts. We skipped a couple of them because we don't care about them. Mm-hmm. But like all the ones that we liked that we watched, they were all really, really, really good.
Nice.
So that was nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. And the guy won that we thought would win.
Good. I did not watch Adam Ruins Everything this week.
I was actually about to bring him up.
Yeah. This week's episode was called Adam Ruins Little Bugs.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, the beneficial things of spiders and how if you were to eat 100 pounds of chocolate, you would have eaten 1 pound of bugs. And that was just the synopsis that I saw. But I will watch it. It came on last night, and I didn't really feel like trying to cram it in tonight real quick.
I brought up Adam Ruins Everything earlier.
Earlier.
At work today.
Oh, I was going to say.
We're talking about things.
Yep.
And I brought it up. And it's interesting.
The show?
Border Patrol.
Okay.
You're talking about Adam Ruins Everything and the Border Patrol thing, right? Mm-hmm. And the Border Patrol has a 100-mile zone, like you said, but it's 100 air miles, right?
Mm-hmm.
From not just, like, the border between Canada and the U.S.
Oh, any body of water.
Any body of water, any port of entry, any.
State to state border.
Right. Like, honestly, there is a small section of, not state to state, it's just border.
Port of entry,
coastline.
Yeah.
Border with another country, port of entry, coastline. There is an all of New England and New York State. There is a small square section of, like, New York and a little bit of Vermont where Border Patrol doesn't have jurisdiction.
Yep.
And then almost there's a swath out of Pennsylvania, but for the most part, that's all in there.
Well, check out this one down here, too, between Austin and Dallas.
Yep.
They have jurisdiction there. So, like he was saying, they could set up a checkpoint between those two cities if they wanted
to. Right, exactly. But, like, all of Washington, D.C., all of Delaware, all of Maryland, all of New Jersey, it's all within the Border Patrol's line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go on to, it's the website I'm on is called City Lab. And if you just Google, I just found this very interesting. If you just Google Border Patrol jurisdiction, the title is called Mapping Who Lives in the Border's 100-Mile Zone. And it's crazy how big it is.
Isn't it?
All of Michigan, all of Washington, D.C., it's crazy. And here's the thing. Like, if you're within 100 miles, if you're in that zone, they have jurisdiction. If you're 20 miles from the border, they can just search your vehicle because they want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can do anything. They can stop you for reasonable suspicion of anything, and they can tear apart your vehicle. They can demand that you unlock your phone. And one of the examples that he gave was a NASA engineer who they were like, you need to unlock your phone. And he's like, no, I work for NASA. I have confidential things on here. They're like, yeah, you're in the border zone. You need to unlock your phone. He's like, I've been vetted to have clearance through NASA. And they're like, yeah, and we're the Border Patrol. Open your phone.
Yeah, that's kind of the dick move right there. So,
well, I'm glad I was able to.
But yeah, it was interesting. So it came up today in class because we were talking in one of the breaks. Someone was talking about how, you know, the guy from Fort Kent was like, you know, a lot of times people they'll just call the Border Patrol direct because mm-hmm. they can be there faster. Then the Border Patrol will call and say, hey, we're sending a couple of units down to da 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 da, and then we can send a unit over, whatever. I was like, do you know what there's? And I just started talking. I was like, oh, do you know what their coverage zone is? No. Well, it's 100 air miles from the border. And like, and there's an even better math of it right there. I mean,
that's the one that he used.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Nearly 2 out of 3 people will live within that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I found it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
So what else you got going?
I watched the next episodes of The Righteous Gemstones and On Becoming a God in Central Florida. Righteous Gemstones, this was a flashback episode that showed, like I said, with this show, Mom is dead. You know, the mother of these three children and John Goodman's wife, she's dead. Couple episodes back, we got introduced to her brother, whose name is Baby Billy.
Yep.
That is his name, Baby Billy. Not William, Baby Billy. That's what's on all of his stationery. That's what his bills are addressed to, is Baby Billy. So anyway, they used to be they would tour and sing gospel songs, him and his sister. And then she got married to John Goodman's character, Mr. Gemstone,
yep.
And went to work with him. So now Baby Billy's funding has dried up. But this was a flashback to when she was pregnant with the youngest. And it was good. It gave some more backstory on why Gemstone and Billy hate each other. I still really enjoy the show. Their kids are monsters, but they kind of raised them that way. And then on Becoming a God in Central Florida, this show is great, honestly. It's really twisted, the way that these people go in for these multi-level marketing schemes, pyramid schemes, whatever you want to call it. I know that this is a TV show and it's fictionalized,
mm-hmm.
but it is not that far off. You know, they had a seminar, you know, for only the high level people, only the ones that had X number of dollars that they had sold. And so when they went there, everybody was coupled up, you know, husband and wife pairs, and they all had to compete to see who got to sit with the head of FAM, you know, Mr. Garbo himself. And it was fanatical, like watching these people just do whatever they could in order to get a seat at the table. I really enjoy the show. I know a lot of people won't see it because it's on Showtime, but yeah. And otherwise, that's pretty much all I watch for shows.
Okay. News. Want to talk news then?
We could do news. I got trailers, news, and then the one movie.
Yeah, I'll save the one movie for the end in case we haven't seen it yet.
Sounds good.
It's It, Chapter 2. So the first news that I want to talk about is, I'm sure you're going to bring it up. I'm sure we're both going to bring it up. Do we want to do the 1, 2, 3 and then say the name of the person we're thinking of?
No.
Oh.
Because I've got a few of them, so.
I know, but this one just got announced a little while ago.
Just like exciting. A few minutes ago?
Oh, no, like 6 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Tom Welling. Is that the one that you were talking about
from
a few minutes ago?
Well, it just started showing up on my feed.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Welling's going to be in Crisis on Infinite Earths. He's going to be playing Clark Kent.
Clark Kent from Smallville.
From Smallville. Like, he's playing the same character, and it's going to be, we're going to find out what he's been up to these last 8 years. If we don't see him in the motherfucking Superman costume, I swear to Christ, this would be a letdown.
before we started recording, when I was just going, oh, my God, oh, yeah. My God. So Stephen Amell tweeted and just said, there'd be no crossover without Tom Welling. So Tom Welling is in the crossover.
Nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's basically what Mark Guggenheim said.
Guggenheim.
Thanks.
Yeah, he said, for 8 years, Arrow has stood on the shoulders of Smallville. Simply put, there would be no Arrow and no Arrowverse without it. Yeah. So when we first started talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths, our first, second, and third priorities were getting Tom to reprise his iconic role as Clark Kent. To say that we're thrilled would be a Superman-sized understatement. I mean, yeah!
I'm so excited. Yes, yes.
Because we were saying, Tom Welling is still on TV. He was just on Lucifer. There is no reason he can't be. They've already... Okay, so they're going to have Brandon Routh being a version of Superman.
He's being... Yes.
Yeah. And they're going to have Tyler Hoechlin as
Superman.
The version of Superman from Supergirl's Earth.
Yes.
So
Tom Welling is Superman.
I wonder which Earth he's going to be from or...
Well, his Smallville Earth.
And are they going to have him be like he was in Smallville where, like, mostly he just ran instead of flying?
It's been eight years. He's an adult now. And well, no, because remember in the final episode, we saw him flying.
That's true. Well, we saw a CGI version of him flying.
But still, his version was flying and wearing the costume.
So, two things here. One, as I had said, when he was on Lucifer as Kane, he was jacked.
Yeah.
Like, he would fill out that suit really nicely right now.
Yeah.
And number two, if we don't get another follow-up that says, oh, and we're also bringing in Michael Rosenbaum, I'm going to lose my shit.
As that world left Lex Luthor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because... Michael Rosenbaum, I don't know if you know this, he's been super active lately. He has this podcast called Michael Rosenbaum Loves, and then it's always whatever guest he has.
Hmm.
So it'll be like Michael Rosenbaum Loves Tom Welling.
Okay.
And he'll do that. He's also been doing a second podcast with the guy who does Toby from This Is Us.
Okay.
So he's been very active social media-wise.
Yep.
He needs to be on this show. They need to bring him into the crossover.
I agree.
I'm saying it right now. Because this is an amazing get, and I think that if they said, oh, and you can't have Superman without a villain, so here's this Lex Luthor. Imagine if we got his Lex Luthor matched up with John Cryer's Lex Luthor.
That'd be hilarious.
If they could bring in Gene Hackman.
That would be hilarious.
No, that would be epic.
Okay, that would be
epic. They wouldn't be able to, but... Yeah.
God, Gene Hackman. So I've been thinking about it. Right. So they still need to somehow get like Linda Carter on here. She's the
president of Supergirl.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Never mind then. She was the president of Supergirl. So she's been on there. Does that cover all the live action series they've had?
We're probably forgetting something, but I can't think of anybody else right now off the top of my head, but.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find. Oh, here we go. Green Hornet, one season, 26 episodes.
That's a real deep cut.
Hey, I'm going. Well, they got Burt Ward for crying out loud.
Yeah.
All right, so Van Williams, he played Green Hornet. Bruce Lee's dead, and Van Williams is also dead. Well, that takes care of that then. I can't think of any other shows, because they've had, you know, they've covered, like, with The Adventures of Superman, I'm pretty sure everyone's gone there, mm-hmm. You know, that 50s series.
Yep.
Or was Noelle Neal still alive, actually? Because she was actually in the Superman Returns. I think Noelle Neal's passed. Yeah, she died a couple years ago. But anyways, I think the Avengers Superman TV series, I'm pretty sure everyone there has passed away. You got Burt Ward from Batman.
Mm-hmm.
The next live action one after that is Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Yeah.
And she's been on there. Lois and Clark, the Avengers Superman, that one, that show's covered.
Well, Dean came, but couldn't they get Terry Hatcher? That'd be kind of cool.
But they've had Dean Cain, though, so that
show. Oh, they had Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, they did have Terry Hatcher. Yeah,
she was a villain.
She was a villain. So they got that was covered. Oh, the Superboy TV series.
Ooh.
Those people are still alive.
Yeah. I was just trying to think. I want to say the one who played Lana Lang.
Yeah.
She Oh, God. What is her name? Was it Stacey? No. Was it Stacey Haydick? No. Anyway, Kristen Kruok.
Yep.
She's still kicking around if they're doing Smallville. As we said before, though, no Allison Mack.
Yeah, no. She's a little busy.
Yeah. Trying to stay out of jail?
Maybe. Oh, maybe she's not. Anyway, so that was kind of one of my most exciting news pieces.
Yes.
My second most exciting news piece is we're going back to Bayside.
This is a pretty big thing to unpack because there's multiple layers here.
Okay, well then let's hold off on that.
No, go right ahead. I want, because this will feed into some of the other stuff that I've got listed here.
Okay, so as we know, there's the Peacock Network is what the Collingwood.
First off, stupid name.
What a dumb name.
I understand that their mascot is a peacock,
yes.
But like CBS didn't call their network the Eye Network or the Eyeball Network.
Right.
Don't call it Peacock. It's way too easy to make fun of
that. It's got the word cock in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there alone, you're shooting yourself in the foot. I'm glad that they didn't go NBC Plus or NBC All Access.
Yeah.
But they could have come up with something better than Peacock.
Well,
not even the Peacock, just Peacock. Hey, Mike, did you check out Peacock last night?
Here's the thing. I want to pay for another streaming service.
I don't either.
But.
You're gonna.
I might do like the 1 month free trial when all the episodes are there. Maybe buy 1 month here or there type of thing. Like 1 month a year type of thing.
Yep.
But Mark Paul Gosselaar is coming back to Zach. He's the governor of California. And apparently,
oh my God,
the California school district's just not in that great a shape. And somehow he recruits Mario Lopez as AC Slater and Elizabeth Berkley as Jesse Spano to come back and, you know, help out Bayside, apparently.
Mario Lopez has been doing plenty of stuff.
Yeah.
Jesse?
Yeah. I hope they don't talk about Jesse's time as a showgirl in Las Vegas.
You know, Tiffany Amber Thiessen had a really good run on Suits.
She did, yep.
She's probably available.
Maybe.
Mark Voorhees, I don't know. Screech, no.
No, stabbed the guy. Yeah. Richard Belding.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, dude.
Dennis Haskins. He's still around.
Yeah.
He's put on some weight.
Yeah.
But I know it, okay. It's gonna be terrible.
Yes.
That much I know.
Yes.
But I mean,
but it knows it's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Okay. The Boy Meets Girl revival. I mean, Boy Meets World revival. Girl Meets World.
Yes.
Phenomenal, I thought. I really enjoyed it. I liked it. They did a great job with the stories. On the show, we met the new characters, and they did a really good job playing homage to the original series, which brought in like fans like myself who love the original series. If they can do something like that, that'd be cool. However, Boy Meets World, which was a comedy, also had some serious and touching and loving moments, especially as it got older. Mm-hmm. Saved by the Bell has always been goofy shit.
Yeah.
Always been goofy shit.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the best things about Saved by the Bell right now is the Zach Morris is trash.
Those are phenomenal.
Where they basically break down how big of a piece of shit Zach is through the whole episode.
Uh-huh.
Like, those are pretty brilliantly done.
The titles are always the best part.
Yeah.
Even if you don't watch the video, just reading the titles. Yeah. You know, like, the time that Zach Morris sold his friend in order to get a date.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about this, though. I'm looking forward to it. I plan on watching it.
Now, what you didn't get into was the fact that we've got the Peacock Network.
Yes.
This is one of their original programs.
Yes.
Which they announced a lot of original programs.
They did. Well, I figured you were going to go down that path.
Well, here's the thing. I was messaging a buddy of mine today, and this all just kind of popped into my head, because they're saying that they want to reboot The Office. Now,
I didn't know that.
Now, first off, The Office is an American remake of the British show The Office.
Right.
That Ricky Gervais did. With Stephen Merchant.
Right.
Okay. It was hugely successful. Some people even think that it's better than the American version.
Well.
Then you've got the American version,
which I don't like.
Just got done 5 years ago.
And which I'm not a fan of.
Right. Some people aren't. I have some episodes that I like, some that I don't. I think it's more meme-worthy than actual sit-down-and-watch-worthy because it's cringe-inducing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're talking about rebooting that. And as I said to him, imagine this, Mike. Imagine that you go to your mother's house
yeah.
for dinner, okay? And you see a guy, kind of looks like you. And she says, well, I remember how much I enjoyed you as a kid. So I decided to find a version of you that was like when you were a kid, except for it's somebody else. And I think they can do it a little bit better. Because, you know, you had some rough edges. And, you know, this version of you is more in tune with today's society. So he's up on the lingo and he knows the technology. So this is Mike 2.0. I've rebooted you. This is a 19-year-old version of the Mike that I envisioned.
That'd be a shitty thing for my mom to do.
Yeah. That's what these people do with these reboots.
Yeah.
You know? So they're saying, we want to reboot The Office. No, fuck that. No, you're not going to do that.
Well, I was never a big fan of The Office to begin with, so even if they rebooted, I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
It's just not something I'm interested in.
So at the same time, they announced, oh, and there's going to be a Battlestar Galactica reboot.
Yeah.
And people went, no. And they said, but Sam Esmail is in charge of it.
And then it makes me go, ooh.
Yeah, Sam Esmail is awesome. But then, did I tell you about this part? So Sam Esmail, right the same day that all these announcements were made, Sam Esmail went right on social media and said, BSG fans, this will not, all capitals, be a remake of the amazing series that Ron Moore launched, because why mess with perfection? Instead, we will explore a new story within the mythology while staying true to the spirit of Battlestar. So say we all.
Oh, nice way to end it.
So right there, not only, okay, like you said, I was interested when they said Sam Esmail.
Yeah.
This guy's fucking amazing for that. To say, oh no, we're not rebooting it because what Ron Moore made is fucking perfect.
Yeah, well, it's phenomenal.
It's got its flaws.
It's great.
But still.
Right.
Yeah. We're not rebooting it. We're going to do a new story.
The reveal of the original Cylons. So along the Watchtower music in the background. And the way it even starts out with Starbuck playing the piano. You know, playing the piano. And then all of a sudden everyone starts walking and they all meet up.
And it goes from the piano music to the actual music.
Yeah. And then they're walking and you're watching them walk. And it's like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. And the hair's raising them out. And you don't know what's actually happening other than you see it's happening. And then they all kind of converge on this room together. And it's just like, and then they realize, and then somehow when you're watching it, you don't know what's happening.
Right.
But then suddenly you do somehow. And it's all revealed, and they all realize it together, and it's just, and they're all just like in denial. And then you're going,
because,
oh my God!
Because up until this point, you knew that there were 12 Cylons that looked human.
Yeah.
And they would introduce like one here and one there. And you're like, whoa. So it was always like, oh my God, we got two this episode. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that guy's a Cylon. But then this was just like, oh, and here's five at once.
Yeah.
And you never saw this coming, did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, seriously, if people haven't watched Battlestar Galactica, you need to go out and watch Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
The whole series.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. It tends to go like...
Now I have a little chill, actually, from all that.
It tends to go an action episode,
yeah,
a political episode.
Yeah.
An action episode, a political episode. Fairly commonly. But...
It's okay, though.
It's, oh, God, it's so good, guys. Baltar and oh, my God, Edward James Olmos.
Adama.
And I always think back to, you know, when they actually, like, stopped for a little while and then his son gained all the weight. And Lee gained all that weight.
Yeah.
Because he was just, oh, God, what a great show. So, yeah, this is going to be a new story within the same mythology.
Nice. That's a good move.
That right there, that's kind of like the Picard.
Yeah.
You know, that is a selling point for this streaming service for me. It's not enough to pre-order it now, obviously.
No.
But,
well, they don't even have a price point. They're just saying it launches April 2020.
Yep. Now, I got to throw this one out there because, speaking of reboots, did you hear about the biggest tragedy this week?
I don't know.
Somebody that from the movie company that owns the rights floated it out there. Boy, there are a lot of famous people who would be really interested in doing a Princess Bride reboot.
Yeah, okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis tweeted, she's like, really? Because I got married to the Six-Fingered Man, and we've been married for 25 years, and I'm pretty sure that story was told perfectly and doesn't need to go back.
Wait, Jamie Lee Curtis is married to Count Rugen?
Apparently.
Huh.
That's what her tweet said.
My son, my youngest son's middle name is Rugen. Just want to throw that out
what's
there.
His first name?
Wesley.
Okay.
Not Wesley, Wesley.
Right. Carrie Always put out a tweet responding to this. This is what he said. There's a shortage of perfect movies in this world. It would be a pity to damage this one.
Yeah, that's not a movie I ever...
Carrie Always won the internet.
That's not a movie I want to see rebooted.
Yeah. I don't want to see any more reboots, honestly. Like, I've reached a point where if I really liked something, I'll go back and watch it again. I don't need another reboot. I don't need them to say, yeah, but what if? We're already getting the Marvel What If series, but that's, like, completely different stuff.
It's different,
These people are like, what if the same story, but newer?
No, I don't know.
Just stop it. Just come up with some original ideas.
Yeah, I don't need that.
This is not a reboot, but it's similar. Sylvester Stallone just won't fucking die.
Oh, is this about
Cobra?
Yes. He's with Robert Rodriguez. I could totally see him do
as a TV series.
Yes. I could totally see Robert Rodriguez taking Cobra and doing something awesome with
it. And of course, you know Stallone, he'll want to be the star of it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it would be he's the star and he hands the torch off to some other renegade cop. But yeah. This guy, he's going to be like 110 years old and still making movies and TV shows. I don't know what fuels him, but I mean, kudos for having the energy to keep doing this stuff. Although, where's the next Expendables?
We probably won't get it.
That's too bad. You going to go see Rambo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't going to Canada this weekend. I'd be going to see Rambo tonight.
Okay. So listen to this.
Yeah.
1980-something, probably 1983, Return of the Jedi is hot. It's in theaters. My mother took me and my sister to see it at the Turnpike Mall in the little single-screen theater that they had up there.
Okay, I remember that theater.
Yeah. 1983, I would say,
yeah,
when Jedi came out, right?
Yep.
Was it 5?
Well, keep going.
That was the last time she has ever been in a movie theater.
Okay.
My dad had this thing. He had a lot of things, a lot of mental issues. And one of them was like, why should I pay to go to the movies when I can just, you know, rent it from the video store a little while later and then record it onto a VHS tape and watch it there? I'm not giving them my hard-earned money. Plus, you couldn't smoke in movie theaters. So
yeah.
That drove him nuts. So we just... Until I reached about high school age, never went to the movies.
Which, is that why you go to the movies so much now?
Yeah, oh yeah, I love it. Okay. It's an act of rebellion,
okay.
But I also like it. So anyway, my mother has not been to the movie theater since Return of the Jedi.
Okay, that is 1983.
She's going next week.
Well, what?
Downton Abbey.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
I'm floored. Like, my mother never goes out like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, she came to me and she's like, I'm going to the movies. Like, she's thrilled. I actually went up and bought a gift card today for $20. Told her this is towards popcorn and just treating herself and, like, you know, make a day of it. Because it's 37 years since she's been to the theater. Yeah,
that's crazy.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
My ex-father-in-law and I, he wanted to go see the new Indiana Jones movie at the theaters there.
Crystal Skull.
Yeah. Whatever. So we went and watched it, and we were driving back, and he loved it. We were driving back after, and he goes, we're talking about it. He's like, I haven't been to the movies in a long time. I'm like, oh, yeah? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, when was the last time you went? He's like, oh, we'll see here. I took June. We went to the Colonial Theater, the one, I guess, that's been closed for 40 years. Yeah. Went to the Colonial Theater, and we saw this. He goes, and it was opening weekend. It was packed, and I wish I could remember it now. So I'm sitting there, and I'm Googling it on my phone while he's driving, and I'm just like, Junior, that movie came out. It was like, I was like, you know, blah blah blah, 1969. He's like, that sounds about right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sounds about right. Jeez, I'm crying. Like, hey, when's the last time you went to the movies? If someone were to ask me this question, I'd be like, well, I last week.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
What about before that? The week before that. It was the drive-in, but it's still the movies. Yep. And I went to the drive-in 5 times in 2 months. So, I mean.
I'm probably going to go this weekend. I'm probably going to go the next weekend because I've got that movie pass. So.
Oh, yeah. I
Well, if you want to go see Rambo with me.
Okay. Let me know.
I'm going to go see it.
Now that we're on the same schedule.
Yeah.
Because it won't cost me a thing.
I still like getting a message about Kevin Smith coming to Portland. Let me check my book. Because that used to be my every time he'd be like, hey, because he doesn't say, what are you doing on February 8th?
I hate that.
I know. He's like, hey, on February 8th, Kevin Smith is coming to Portland. What are you doing? What are you doing that night? And I was like, let me check my book. Well, I got a double and I got the kids or I'm working and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, so that's the joke. Let me check my book.
I want to go see Hustlers, actually. I've been hearing some really good things about it.
Yep, I've heard a lot of good stuff about it.
Hobbs and Shaw is still in the theater. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah.
The only hard part at this point is the time, you know, dedicating a couple hours to driving, watching the movie, etc. But
yeah.
Now that it's not a money issue,
Augusta, it's not like Augusta's that far.
No, it's not.
You know, it's not that you jump on the interstate off. I mean,
yes. Yeah. And if you order the tickets ahead of time, then you can get there at showtime.
That's the other thing with the reserve seats. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess I got to – are we still talking about the Peacock Network? Are we done?
Oh, we could still talk about that.
I don't have anything else to bring.
No, me
okay. But Netflix dropped a trailer with a bunch of stuff they got coming out this October.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
First up is a flick called, and I don't have the release dates for all this shit, all right? But first up is a flick called Rattlesnakes.
Look at you getting all defensive. I don't have the.
I know.
But, I don't have the release dates.
Well, normally dates, right? I do. The first one's called Rattlesnakes. And it's based on a stage play. It stars Jack Coleman.
Okay.
You know. Okay.
I'm aware of Jack Coleman.
Hormone glasses fella.
Yeah.
He was in a great classic TV show, Nightmare Cafe. Anyways, he plays a fella named Robert McQueen. Whose day takes a turn for the worse when he's held hostage and accused by three vengeful husbands of sleeping with their wives.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says, however, the truths they will hear change their lives forever. So, I don't know. A little bit of trailer part that looked good. It's Jack Coleman. I'm going to watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's Neil. Another horror flick coming on October 18th called Eli. Story centers around a young man named Eli who is undergoing treatment for a rare disease at a secluded clinic, which becomes a haunted prison with no way out. It just looked kind of like a cool, I thought it was a ghost
Something
flick.
Becomes a haunted prison? Like, flip a switch and so
I don't know. I'm reading the synopsis here, but it looked like a cool ghost story. And right near Halloween, those are always a blessing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Haunted Season 2 drops October 11th.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it.
No.
I don't. Hold on. Yeah.
Hold on.
The anthology focuses on horror stories in which individuals or groups of people talk about their paranormal experiences. The six episodes, the first season premiered October 19th, then season two is coming October 11th.
Yeah.
I don't know what the stories are going to be about this season. They were like 20 to 30 minutes long. Some of them were good. Some of them were bad. Do you remember watching them?
I remember not wanting to see it because it reminded me too much of that Investigation Discovery TV that used to be on in the background whenever Amy was working.
Oh, yes.
You know, people would be like, and I felt the cold chill, and there was a terrible recreation. And yeah, so I never really watched it.
Okay, well, see, to me, it was 20 minutes of background TV.
Yep, yeah.
Again, some stories are good, some stories are bad. October 11th, this actually looks really, really good. It's called Fractured.
Okay.
And this wasn't – it stars Sam Worthington and was it Lily Rabb? I don't know how to pronounce it. She's on American Horror Story. Anyways, this is one of those movies that was not a Netflix original, but like they bought the rights to it type of thing.
Okay.
And it says driving cross country, Ray – where is it? And this Ray, his wife, and daughter stop at a highway rest area where their daughter falls and breaks her arm after a frantic rush to the hospital and a clash with the check-in nurse. Ray is finally able to get to the doctor. While the wife and daughter go downstairs for an MRI, Ray, exhausted, passes out in a chair in the lobby. Upon waking up, they have no record or knowledge of Ray's family ever checking in.
I was going to say, is this a synopsis or is this like...
No, it's just a really long synopsis. It looks really good. Sam Worthington's pretty solid. It looks good. Also coming to Netflix this month, actually, I think this will be, October 4th. It's called In the Tall Grass.
and it's made up in Canada and stars Patrick Wilson, and it's based on Stephen King novella.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes place when, after hearing a young boy's cry for help, a brother and sister venture into the vast field of grass in Kansas, but soon discover that there's no way out. So, yeah, it's a typical Stephen King gimmick.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Okay.
I know I'll save that one because, well, I'll just say it now. In the Shadow of the Moon. Did you watch that trailer?
No.
It actually comes out September 27th on Netflix. Comes out this month.
I'm assuming it looks good if you asked me that way and then seem a little disappointed.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just, it's okay. It's, again, this is another, like, I think this is a flick that Netflix, like, bought the rights to type of thing. A Philadelphia police officer struggles with a lifelong obsession to track down a mysterious serial killer whose crimes defy explanation. That's the synopsis. The trailer, though, It looks so badass. Like, I'm actually very excited about this.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that trailer out.
I thought I sent you the trailer.
No.
Okay. And then Daybreak, a post-apocalyptic comedy drama, comes out October 24th.
Comedy drama?
Yeah, it follows the story of a 17-year-old high school outcast, Josh, searching for his missing girlfriend in a post-apocalyptic Glendale, California. He's joined by a ragtag group of misfits, including a pyromaniac 12-year-old, his former high school bully, now turned pacifist samurai. It looks really cheesy. It looks super, super cheesy. I think someone described it as like Battle Royal meets Shaun of the Dead.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
But it looks wicked cheesy. But anyway, so that's a bunch of stuff Netflix has coming out pretty soon. And then the other news thing I had is called The Lost Girls.
Okay.
It's based on a book. And it's essentially Peter Pan is painted as the villain.
Hmm.
And it's about the four generations of the Darling family women and their trials and tribulations post-Peter Pan.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. I guess it was a best-selling book. What you got?
Timothy Oliphant is going to be on Fargo Season 4 in a major role.
Oh, I didn't know there was actually going to... I keep waiting to hear stuff about Fargo Season 4, and I love Timothy Oliphant.
I do as well. He was great on Justified.
Oh, yeah,
and Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, what a great show that was.
And unpopular opinion, but Live Free or Die Hard. I really liked Live Free or Die Hard.
We went to the theaters and saw Live Free or Die Hard, and I think this is why we embraced what it was going to be, and It's exactly what we wanted.
We drove a police car into a helicopter, so we were like, we know what this is going to be. And it was great schlock.
Nice.
I had sent you a link. We will not read this off, but they have released a list of the entire catalog at launch of Disney Plus.
It's insane.
It is insane. I wish somebody could have like made it searchable instead of just like it's in alphabetical order.
Yeah. So I mean it kinda is if you know what title you're looking
for. But I'd rather see like it broken down by movies, TV series, you know, animated, live.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But again, I don't want to break it all down either and talk about it. However, it is got everything.
Yeah, it's amazing what it has.
But it's really got a lot of the movies I was kind of excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, for instance, the 1969 flick with Kurt Russell, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, is going to be on there. And all of those Kurt Russell movies, you know, that he was that was in there. And The Absent-Minded Professor and Flubber and Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Strongest Man in the World. I mean, all those are going to be there.
And they will have The Adventures of Babysitting with the unedited version where they say fuck.
Yeah.
Disney.
You know what I did look to see if it was on the... I didn't look to see if this was on there, but what's that... was it Songs of the South?
Ooh, I did not look for that.
I forgot, because that's like the one Disney movie they made that they kind of pulled back.
Kinda. They burned that thing. They buried it so deep down.
Well, it came out in 1946, and it did have Zippity Doodah on there.
And a tar baby.
Just saying. But I wonder if that's going to be on the Disney Plus.
I doubt it. I very much doubt it.
Okay.
There are going to be two new characters joining Supergirl this season. Mm-hmm. Carla Buono, who played Mike and what's her name's mom, Mike and Nancy's mom in Stranger Things 3. You know, the one who got yes. together with the lifeguard. Mm-hmm. She is going to be playing Gamumne, an ancient alien who, with others of her kind, have been safeguarding the Earth from the follies of humanity throughout the ages. Her aim is to use technology to subjugate humans. She's cunning, witty, ruthless, and always 10 steps ahead of her adversaries. Her agenda puts her in a conflict with would-be allies and on a collision course with Supergirl. It seems kind of counterintuitive to start off with safeguarding the Earth from the follies of humanity throughout the ages, and then her aim is to use technology to subjugate humans.
Yeah, that does seem kind of odd.
They're also going to be adding Rama Khan, an ancient alien who is able to control the four ancient elements, fire, earth, water, and air. Arrogant and willful, Rama Khan has been entrusted to use his powers to protect the Earth from mankind for millions of years, but now his agenda puts him at odds with Supergirl as well as Lena Luthor. He will be played by Mitch Pileggi.
Really? I like Mitch Pileggi.
I do.
That's awesome.
I do as
That's
well.
That's awesome.
And I think I had one piece of news. M. Night Shyamalan has announced his next two movies. They'll be coming out in 2021 and 2022. And he says that they're new original thrillers.
After he fucked up Glass, I don't care.
I know.
I really enjoyed Glass until the ending.
I really enjoyed Glass when it was called Split.
No, I don't know. I enjoyed Split. Split's going to be a standalone movie for me from now on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was great. And then Glass was supposed to be like the continuation of Split, the ending of the trilogy, and it was just terrible.
I went and found that list of the Disney Plus everything, and yeah. Song of the South is not on here.
I can imagine.
However, all the Halloween Town flicks are.
Nice.
And The Rocketeer.
Jesus.
There's a lot of these movies that are on here that I'm actually excited to show Kanan or show Wesley. Like, Wesley will probably love The Shaggy Dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the original one. Like, the Ugly Dachshund. Like, all that stuff.
Considering how much he likes the, you know, like Mary Poppins.
Oh, he loves Mary Poppins. He loves the new Mary Poppins. That the new Mary Poppins really is good. I must say, I really enjoy it. So.
That's it for me other than trailers and... Talking about It Chapter 2.
All right, what you got for trailers?
Well, when I went to the movies to see It, I saw a different trailer for Terminator Dark Fate.
Oh, really?
It actually made it look good.
Oh, nice.
It told a little bit more of the story. Like, they said that whatever it was there, July 17th, 1997, was supposed to be Judgment Day. But mm-hmm. now it wasn't. But it got pushed back or something.
Yeah.
You know, daylight savings time or something.
Sure, sure.
Schwarzenegger actually had some speaking roles in this trailer. They showed up at his cabin like you saw in the first trailer, but then, like, Linda Hamilton tries to shoot him, and they stop her, and he takes them out back and, like, steps on this button in the ground, and all these targets pop up, and he's like, I'll help train the girl to protect her. And the girl's, like, firing off guns and stuff like that. And then later on, Linda Hamilton looks at him and says, when this is all over, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, I know. So I don't know what his character is still, because this is supposed to take place after T2. The original Terminator was killed. John Reese killed him.
Yep.
The arm, you know, fed the machine.
Right, well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, keep going.
And then in the second one, he was dropped into the lava, you know, the molten metal, and did the thumbs up thing as he was going up.
Right, yeah.
Shed a tear.
Because he's like, I have to. No, the last chip is in here.
Right.
Pointing at my head.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who this character is supposed to be. Again, it could be somebody that they base the models on.
Yeah.
I don't know. But. It did look better, I'll say that. It looked more enjoyable. At one point, they're standing on a bridge overpass, and Linda Hamilton, like, tosses a grenade over the side, and then just looks at him and goes, I'll be back, and then turns and walks away, and everyone goes, ah, in the theater, and then there's an explosion, and they continue on with the trailer.
Nice.
And the female character who, remember in the first trailer, Linda Hamilton was like, I've never seen one like you before. You're almost human.
Yes.
In this one, she actually continues the line, and the woman says, I am human. I'm just enhanced.
Oh, okay.
So that could be something cool as well. I sent you a couple of trailers.
Yes.
There's one coming on Netflix called Raising Dion.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think it's a TV series, actually. I don't think it's a movie.
No, I believe it is a TV series, yes.
Michael B. Jordan is behind it. He plays the dad who is missing, maybe dead. But he has a little son who's, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And his son has superpowers. And then it turns out that there are other people in the world that have superpowers. And the government's trying to round them up. And storms are attracted to this kid. It looks cool. It looks badass.
It is a TV series.
Okay.
I just double checked, but I was pretty sure it was. Yes, it is.
One that I am really looking forward to.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Dude, this looks so good.
Living with Yourself.
Yes.
So basically, he's this guy who's not a bum, but he's kind of a loser, and he wants to be a better version of himself, and he finds out about this spa where they say they'll make you a better version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes there,
yeah.
And he wakes up the next day, and he feels better, he's smarter, he's more charming, he's like, wow, you know, it's supposed to be like genetic manipulation. Well, then it's either that night or the next day or something like that. He hears a noise downstairs and he goes to investigate and it's him. And the other him says, yeah, I went into that spa and then I woke up in a grave.
Yeah.
So basically what they did was they cloned him but made a better version and then threw out the original, but the original wasn't dead.
Yeah.
So now there are two versions of him. So it's equal parts like drama and comedy.
Right, because the way the trailer starts – once we get the reveal, it's like, well, I guess we'll take turns living our life. And someone finds out about it, or they talk to someone about it. I don't know how, but basically, like, the new Paul is better at everything than he was. His relationship, his job, he's better at everything. And then it looks by the end, he's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to kill each other.
Trying to kill each other.
Which, I mean, I can see that.
At one point, one of the Paul Rudds goes, I know karate. And the other one goes, yeah, not unless you learned it since yesterday afternoon. So it's still got Paul Rudd's snarky humor, which I love.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to that. I think it comes out next month.
It looks great. I think it's the best trailer I watched this week.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because we also had the trailer for Big Mouth Season 3.
Hold on. Paul Rudd's 50.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're just now getting, like, I say just now, like, but it's like he didn't start doing great movies or getting big until, like.
Dude, I watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver regularly on HBO, and he made a comment the other night that The Rock is older than he is. And John Oliver looks like, you know, an aging guy, like a 50-year-old guy. But The Rock's what, like 51, 52?
Oh. The Rock?
Look him up.
Oh, shit. He might be.
Are you going to look up The Rock or Dwayne Johnson?
I looked up The Rock. It should automatically link, damn it. He's 47. Yeah.
Wasn't that far off.
No, but.
Guy's 3 years older than me.
But still, though, Paul Rudd's 50. And I don't feel like, well, I've been watching Paul Rudd for 30 years on TV type of thing.
I know. You see him in the early episodes of Friends and you're like, damn.
Yeah, you forget. But I really don't think he hit it big, quote unquote, until like 10 years ago.
Yeah. He's one of those that kind of disappeared.
Oh, he was in the first Anchorman.
He was in both of them.
But, yeah.
Sex Panther.
Right. That's what I mean, though. So he was in the first Anchorman. That's right.
60% of the time.
So 2004. Every time. So 15 years he's kind of been popular. So he didn't hit it big till he was like 35.
Yeah. But he's always like, he's got the bit roles, you know. He in 40-Year-Old Virgin, he's one of the guys there. You know, they have that big, you know how I know you're gay? You know how I know you're gay?
Yeah. He did play Tommy Doyle, though, in Halloween Curse of Michael Myers. I keep forgetting that. That was 1995.
Yeah. Yeah. He was also, I still have to remind myself every time I watch it, forgetting Sarah Marshall, he was the surf instructor.
Yeah. And he was in Wet Hot American Summer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the subsequent series and movie on Netflix.
Right. But still, it's like, okay, so we've basically had Paul Rudd.
Forever.
Well, no, but, like, again, he didn't hit it big till, say, for 18 years ago.
Yeah.
But so when he was 30, though, instead of being 20, you know, or a teenager.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you think about.
Dude, look at Sheldon.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Sheldon Cooper is about 47 or 48, and he only hit it big with The Big Bang Theory. And that's literally the only thing that he had. I mean, he has the Muppet cameo there.
That's true. Because, like, if you think about, like, the cast of the original American Pie movie, mm-hmm. that came out 20 years ago this year.
Seems like it's been longer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jason Biggs, what's he doing?
Oh, had a shitty last role I knew about for Jason Biggs was his little shitty role on the prison show. Fuck, I haven't even watched the last season of Orange Is the New Black.
That prison show.
I forgot about that.
Uh-oh.
It's probably the cat.
Oh, okay.
My wife could be home any minute for all I know, too. Oh, Jay and Silent Bob reboot. He plays himself.
Yep. Yep. He's also been on a commercial recently for U.S. Cellular where they keep going, that's big. That's bigger than big. And, of course, he's Jason Biggs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you know in 2012 they did a movie called American Reunion?
Yes. It wasn't that good.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was not that good. So, the final trailer, as I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Big Mouth Season 3.
Yes.
Looks just as awesome as before.
Just as awesomely inappropriate as the first two seasons.
Except for now, like, it's really ramped up some of the stuff on there. You know, guys are ranking all the girls in class. More people are getting hormone monsters. And in the final scene, we get to see, yes, all five of the Queer Eye guys are going to be on the show, animated.
I'm excited.
And you got Coach Steve and one of them, I don't even know who he is, Jonathan or something.
Yep.
And he's talking to Coach Steve and he's like, oh, I got this one brush. I use it for everything. My hair, my armpits, my downstairs, my ass. Jonathan's like, Jesus Christ, in my vagina, that poor brush. I love this show. I can't wait to see more of it.
Nice.
So, It Chapter 2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to deep dive into it.
Well, if you haven't seen it and you want to be surprised, or if you're like, oh, we'll wait until closer to Halloween to watch it.
Don't watch it. Don't listen anymore.
Yeah, we won't spoil the ending, but...
oh, yeah, we will.
Okay.
Just stop listening if you don't want to hear it.
Okay, so we're not going to deep dive, but we're going to spoil the ending.
I'm not going to talk about it for 40 minutes, is what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to talk about it.
So,
you watched it on Friday the 13th.
Yes, because I was like, this will be cool.
Well, on Friday the 13th, I'm going to bring this up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny and I had our own little mini Friday the 13th marathon. We watched the 2009 version, the reboot, which I really like. I enjoy. I thought they did a good job with it. Because in this one, Jason is not a supernatural being. He is a person who's alive still. He hasn't been dead and brought back from the dead.
Right.
And then we watched part 3 in 3D. Because I had the part 3 in 3 DVD with the 3D glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny had some as well. You know what? So the 3D was not as cheesily bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
It was in respects they kept like poking shit at the camera. But like in the other scenes when you're watching it, I mean, I wouldn't call it 3D, but it definitely looks like the actors are like kind of in the foreground and the background's a bit further. I mean, it gave it definition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually surprised how kind of nice the 3D looked. But yeah. Cheesy movie. Anyways, so Friday the 13th, It Chapter 2.
Yes.
The theaters and saw it.
Yep.
I went to the drive-in the week before and saw a double feature, It Chapter 2. And
it would have been really cool if they could have done like a feature that was one night, the ABC miniseries.
Oh, God, that's terrible. And then,
well, if funnily enough, the woman that I went with said, we sat down and she goes, all right, this has some big shoes to fill. She goes, because I didn't like the first one that much, and if this one isn't good enough, then I'm going back to saying that the original movie is my favorite. And I went, original movie? And she goes, yeah. I said, you mean the TV series? She goes, no, it was a movie. And I go, nope, that was a TV series.
That was a two-part TV series.
And she had to really think about it, and then she's like, well, wait. Maybe it was a TV series, yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of a movie. Well, yeah.
Okay, it was a two-night miniseries event.
Yeah.
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 I like the first It better.
As did I.
However, I definitely like this two-part version way better than the Tim Curry miniseries event.
Yep.
Which I'm at the point now where, like, if I want to watch It again, I'm going to watch this. I'm not going to watch that.
Right.
So I guess it's weird because, like, you can tell the kids are older when they film the kids scenes because they didn't film them 2 years ago.
Yeah, especially Bev. Like, she really...
She filled out a little bit.
Well, I was going to say she really got older, but yeah.
Yeah. But there was a lot of jump scares in this. And it's kind of cool because, like, when the it monster or the it creature is going at the adults, he first kind of appears So he either first appears as the clown or he appears as something else and then finishes as the clown. But it was good because you didn't have, like, a clown chasing them. Like, in the first one, a clown was enough to scare the kids. Mm-hmm. Except, you know, a couple like the scary lady or the leper guy or whatever. But in this, like, it was something else, like, or giant beings or whatever it was. And I don't know. It was way better than this is battery acid, you slime, and then he squirts his inhaler at him, you know?
Yeah.
I thought Bill Hader was awesome.
Bill Hader was the best part of the movie,
yeah,
hands down.
I mean, James McAvoy was great because he's just great in everything he is.
But... And he really brought the stutter.
Yes. Yeah, which is good. And Jessica Chastain as Bev was a great adult Bev.
Okay, but here's something. So, like, going from the first movie to this one they really seem to focus on and emphasize that Bev is a smoker. Like, it was kind of glossed over in the first one, but it's like every flashback where we had young Bev, she was smoking.
Yeah.
And then Jessica Chastain several times was lighting up. It was really like they kind of made that a focal feature for her character. And I don't know why. I don't know why they felt that it was necessary to do that.
I get what you're saying. I thought the best kid to adult, where you have the two different actors, mm-hmm. was the guys that played young and old Eddie.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Like,
oh my God, they could have been father and son.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, that was the most believable. Like, I could totally see that kid growing to be that kid. And then I'd say second place would be Bill Hader and the other kid as the
as Richie.
But I will.
Bill Hader was introduced in this movie by vomiting. Like, that's when we first saw him, was running out on that fire escape and just vomiting up what looked like baked beans.
Yes,
loved it.
Now, Ben...
Standing on stage, I forgot the joke.
Young Ben to old Ben?
Okay.
Okay, young Ben was the same age as all the other kids, but older Ben appeared to be 15 years older than the adults.
I know, like, he had... And here's the thing, like, I saw this online and I had to agree with it. Young Ben was, like, his role was the fat kid. Like, that was it. Everybody made fun of him for being the fat kid.
Yeah.
He was the loser fat kid. He got his stomach carved because he was the fat kid.
Yeah.
Old Ben was the hot guy.
The hot jockey
guy. That was his thing.
Yeah.
He was the hot guy. So he was very, like, one-dimensional almost.
Yeah.
He was just there for eye candy because we couldn't get through a scene without somebody reminding us about how handsome he was or how good. Usually it was Bill Hader.
But, yes.
I
really enjoyed the scene of them all in the restaurant together.
Yes. And how they explain that the way that dairy works is that and as you move away...
You forget about it. They're starting to remember things. They're laughing. They're joking. They have a great time. And then Pennywise shows up to remind them that Stan's not here. And is it Stan?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. In the first movie...
Yeah, Stan.
Okay. In the first movie, when Stan dies... Basically, he's just made to look like a pussy. He cuts his wrist and he writes the word it on the wall in his own blood, and that's the end of it. That's it.
You don't mean the miniseries.
In the miniseries.
The kid did not kill himself.
In the miniseries.
Yeah, yeah.
In this, when Stan kills himself, you get some sort of... We got a letter at the end, I think, that he wrote that they all got a letter and he explained why he did it.
But even before that, he kind of had a little
voiceover. Kid, he never wanted to be there. But still, but when they read the letter at the end,
mm-hmm.
and he explains why I'm glad they did that.
Yes. Yeah, it gave it some validity.
Yeah, it gave it, this is why he did this. And, yeah, he goes, like, I knew I could never return, and I knew you would never be able to feed him if I wasn't there, because we're not all together, whatever it was. You know, I don't remember verbatim, but it just, at least it made it make sense, and you go, okay, all right, I can get away with it. I can go with this a little better.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I guess overall, I really enjoyed it. I mean, the story was cool.
Yeah.
I like how, like, they all
there was so much humor in it.
There was a lot of, there was more, but there was also a lot of jump scares.
Yep.
Like, the first one used a lot of psychological scares and some jump scares. This had a lot more jump scares.
And a lot more funny moments.
Yes. But, like, when they all had to go off to get their own token.
Which was a little bit weird because, like, you saw Bev get her token, but you didn't really, oh, I'm sorry, you saw Bill get his bike.
Yes.
Which Stephen King, okay, you gave him a cameo. You gave him a longer cameo than it should have been.
Yeah.
And Stephen King, for somebody who grew up in Maine, who lives in Maine,
yeah,
who has lived in Maine his entire life, somebody needs to tell him, most of us don't have that stupid fucking accent.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, that's my bike now. We don't talk like that.
Yeah, I know we don't.
But he always has to do that. He had Fred, what's his name there?
Fred... Herman Munster,
yeah,
on the original Pet Sematary.
Oh, my God. It was so thick.
I got the cat over here. We're going to take it over to the deadfall. I'm going to climb over it.
Dead things should stay dead.
Well, I thought it'd be different. The cat just died.
So,
anyways.
Yeah, I really didn't appreciate that. But, yeah, the rest of them, we didn't really see them, like,
no,
get their totems.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, no. Yeah, Bill got actually – not Bill, but Richie got his actual token from the arcade.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We did. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. Richie's playing the video games with the kid, and they're both having fun playing video games, and then the bullies come along.
Dude, this was almost like – it was almost like we had gone back in time to the 80s, and
yeah,
they were trying to tiptoe around the possibility,
yeah,
that the hint that he might – kind of, sort of, maybe, like boys?
I never got that notion.
Really?
I never got that notion. In that scene when he's like, hey, and excuse me, hey, fag, blah, blah, blah. Like, after him, he's like, hey, you want to play some more games? And then, like, his older cousin comes on, you didn't tell me they had a bunch of fairies up here, or whatever he said. Like, I thought that was just one kid being a dick to another kid because he wanted to be cool for his cousin. I never picked up on the notion at all. At all.
Oh, yeah, it was
Richie was gay.
They got done playing, and the kid had the perfectly coiffed hair for the 80s, you know, and it was gorgeous. Richie's like, hey, you want to play again? Like, he was trying to keep the kid.
No, there. See, I thought that was Richie being awkward and trying to make new friends because he just got ditched by his old friends.
Right.
That's what I didn't take that as him being gay. In fact, until the very end when he carved, like, R plus E in the bridge, I went, oh, like, it,
really? So even when Pennywise, right after that, was dancing through the sky and saying, I know your big secret. I know your big secret. You'd hate it if anybody found out, wouldn't you?
I didn't know what it was.
He was gay.
I did not pick up on that.
It's 2019.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand that they're, you know, maybe he's still closeted.
Hey, you know what? There's still people today who are closeted.
Absolutely.
Afraid to come out.
I get that. But just the way that they handled it felt like the movie was afraid to say it because they still never said it. Like you said,
yeah,
you had to get to the end of the movie and see, you know, R, yeah, plus E and go, oh, my God.
Yeah. So I don't know. But when Eddie died in the first flick, I was like, oh, whatever. When Eddie died, when I say the first flick, the original miniseries,
right,
when he died in this one, I was like, I felt loss.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, that sucks. He was very likable.
And then, you know... See, this is part of my problem.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons people don't like hanging out with me. Because one of my first thoughts after that was, okay, so how are they going to explain this to the police?
Oh, I know. I thought the same exact thing.
So you've got six friends who came back together out of nowhere because, you know, they haven't seen each other in like 37 years, 27 years, whatever it was.
27 years.
27 years. They haven't seen each other. They came back together,
yeah,
basically told their families to fuck off for a couple of weeks. They're like, I'm going to go do this. You stay home. And then one of them doesn't make it out. No body shows up because the house, yeah, imploded in on him and he was way down underneath.
Yeah.
What are they going to tell the police? Like, oh, he went down there and died. There's no body, but, you know, we definitely didn't kill him. It was an evil force that we stopped. Like, who's going to explain this? What are the police going to do for an investigation? These people are going to go to jail. They were the last ones to see him alive.
Nope, they're not. Yeah, I know. I got the same. I was wondering the same thing myself. Like, I mean, if they say they brought his body back, they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are they going to tell his wife and his overbearing mom wife? And
right.
You know. Yeah.
Also, Henry Bowers.
Yeah.
I felt like that was just, like, tacked on. Like, I was excited when he was first in the asylum. Like, we got the flashback.
Yes.
And then we saw him in the asylum and the red balloon, and he was, like, jumping around like a maniac. And then we saw him escape and his zombie friend. And his zombie friend was driving the car, and we're like, yeah. And then we don't see him again for, like, another hour and a half. Just long enough to stab Richie or Eddie. And this was the coolest thing, because he didn't just stab him in the arm or the chest or something. He stabbed him in the cheek.
Yes.
And it was hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, that was pretty violent.
And he's
violent.
Just like, oh, and he like backed into the shower and pulled the curtain. I'm like, you know, that's probably what a normal person would do. They'd be like, just get me away from this guy.
And that's kind of how it was in the book.
It just seemed like he was
they
there.
Want you. I think what it is they want you to remember who he is. Remember that Pennywise planted in his head he needed to kill them all. And then they want you to forget about him. So that when he popped back up,
yeah,
you'd be surprised. So that way you're not sitting there going, what about Henry? What about Henry? You know?
Yeah, I guess. I would have rather seen that one scene where Ben was being held down by the invisible Pennywise and, you know, having his stomach carved. I would have rather seen, you know, Bowers be there for that. You know, repeating the past.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed the first one better. You know, and by that I mean it, not the TV miniseries. What are you looking up?
Chapter 3 is apparently going to be a thing.
Maybe. They said that there are still some stories that they could tell, or they could do a prequel.
I would love to see a Pennywise origin story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because you have the thing where, like, my father came across here, and they show the pictures of him. Like, I would like to see a Pennywise origin story. I would like to see Bill Skarsgård continue as it. I think that would be interesting. Pennywise the Dancing Clown.
Oh, yeah. You know something else that bothered me?
Nope.
The number of children that were taken in this movie and killed right off from under their parents' noses. And you didn't see a police presence. You didn't see, like, news reports. You didn't see cops patrolling the neighborhoods. You didn't see a cop.
Well,
there was an escape from a mental asylum where he brutally murdered all the staff there. Kids are disappearing in bloody ways sometimes. And there are no police. Nobody's out there investigating. Nobody's knocking on doors.
I think it's because this is Derry and this is not abnormal behavior.
Maybe. Maybe
because remember how they explained how Derry was different, and the further you get away from it, the less the you don't remember, and for the less pull it has on you, and on and on and on. So, but yeah, I'm glad I went and saw it.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
You know, and it says here the suicide is actually means to give his friends a fighting chance against it, asking they remain the losers to live life to the fullest. The remaining losers. But, like, I mean, we see all kinds of things. Like, James McAvoy's Bill. Like, apparently he's a successful novelist again.
Yeah.
At the end of it. Because he's written a story about him and his friends.
Oh, can we talk about that for a minute?
Sure.
He's married.
Yep.
He has a wife. She did not divorce him. She just said, you make shitty endings to books.
Yeah.
So she did not divorce him. He's still married. Yep. And yet, he was all over Bev.
Yep.
For, like, 3 seconds. You know, buckled onto her face, said, yeah, let me get some of that. And then that was it. Because then she finally remembered that the postcard actually came from Ben.
Well, yeah.
Because they saved each other.
Oh, yeah, never mind. I told you last week about the orgy in the original book. Never mind. So also she also banged them all. So
yeah,
I mean,
in the book.
In the book.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
That's it for me as well.
No. Well, that's the episode then. And
that's a record for us to be done at 8:47.
I know. Well, we did start early. because this is still our 83-minute episode. Anyways, until next week, I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's the show.